path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Are you alone this holiday season? Or do you dread going to the family functions where you know you're going to see someone that asks you what you don't want to answer, or, you know, you just don't want to be around? Are you in a place where where celebrating is the last thing you really feel like doing? Hi, this is Cheryl Maloney, and thanks for being here today. The holidays come up, and we have mixed feelings sometimes, especially if we're alone or we've got stress in our families or our lives, that we just don't look forward to celebrating the holiday season. Maybe you don't have the money to celebrate the way you want to, or maybe like you did in the past. Or maybe your family isn't close and you can't afford to travel to see them. Or maybe you have a job where you have to work on the days when everyone else seems to be off. When we aren't looking forward to the holidays, it seems to magnify our loneliness, the sadness, the frustration, and even sometimes our anger. The last of my close family died this year, so I'm in that place too. And as I thought about the holidays, it's been something that I've dreaded. Even if you have close friends who've invited you to join them, it's not necessarily what you're comfortable doing. And today we're going to talk about making plans to help you feel better than you do right now about the holidays. If you find yourself alone at the holidays, consider if you want to be alone, or if you want to be with friends or others, you know, so you don't want to be physically alone. But what do you want? You know, if you have good friends, they will include you in their family plans, the dinners, the parties. Tell them how you feel and ask them if you can join them, if they haven't already asked you. For me, I'm not used to being with big families or crowds, so I prefer the quietness of being alone. If you want to do something totally different and yet not be alone, you can join one of those groups that volunteers at a soup kitchen or some other place that serves meals to those that are in need. You can go to a senior's home, or you can rock babies in a hospital. This plan has another benefit. By going to help someone else, you really are able to put your life in perspective. When you see others that are alone, when you see others that are in a situation that you're grateful you're not in, quite frankly, you put your life in perspective. And gratitude, you know, it may be the season, but when you're feeling low because of your holiday situation, you may not feel the gratitude, like the gratitude of Thanksgiving. But when you witness what others are going through, it helps you to be grateful for your own situation. So if you're going out and helping someone else, spend a few minutes to acknowledge your own blessings. Maybe you are alone, but you have a safe place to live. You might have good friends. You might belong to a church. And maybe you appreciate those communities and those people in your life. Maybe you have a job and an income. You're healthy. And all the things that you take for granted every day are blessings that not everyone shares. And as I look at this, you know, we can look at woe is me and why is my life like this? But there is always someone who can use your help. There is always someone that's less fortunate, maybe in a different way. It doesn't make us any better or worse as people. It just means we're all going through things differently. And when you get the perspective of someone else going through something you're not going through, don't you find that you're grateful not to be going through what they are? And maybe in the alternative, they're grateful not to be going through what you're going through. There is a perspective here that is really important to you. Because if you step back and look at maybe you are alone, but everything else in your life is good, that perspective is important, especially to focus on it now in the holidays. Now, I would ask, is being alone over the holidays a choice for you? I know it is for me. It's nearly 3 years since Jack died, and my mom passed away in January. I don't like to travel on the holidays. I don't care if it's to go and see family or friends or anyone else. I just don't like to travel, so I prefer to be in my own home. I also have friends and family that have big families, and I was not raised in a big family situation. I was raised where there was two of us, or maybe my parents were here and there were four of us, so there were never large gatherings, and there haven't been since I was a child. So as I look at this, as much as it would be nice to see family and friends, the stress of being in a large group or a rowdy, you know, people enjoy the holidays and they get rowdy and they get loud and you have great discussions or not. That doesn't work for me. And maybe it doesn't for you either. So ask yourself, what do you want to do? Now, one of the other advantages for me is by being alone, I never was the kind of person that liked turkey. So Thanksgiving is one of those meals that honestly, I dreaded the food. Yes, I could eat the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the sweet potatoes, but I never liked turkey. And Jack loved it. So now that I'm alone, I don't have to cook a turkey for Thanksgiving. I can eat whatever I choose to eat, and so can you. So what makes you happy? What's something that calls you to have on Thanksgiving dinner that is non-traditional? It's not the turkey or the ham or whatever your family normally has. I know this year I'm searching Pinterest and other websites for something special. I want to make something for myself that I've never had. And this is something that you can do, not necessarily the food, but when you change the tradition that you have always experienced in your life, you decide to do something different because this year you're alone. By changing that tradition, it helps you not miss what you're not experiencing. And that sounds like it's saying the not word a couple different times in a different way. But the truth is, you don't have to do what you've always done. And when you choose something different, it makes you not so inclined to miss what was, because now you're choosing to do something that you really like and you really want to do. And you start a new tradition, and that new tradition serves your happiness and your joy because you're making the choice to put your needs first. Now, maybe it's been a long time since you took care of yourself or you put your own needs first. Make this a time when you are your first and your only priority. What does that mean to you? Because you're alone, you can actually have the added benefit of not feeling guilty for whatever you choose to do. You don't have to say, well, so-and-so wants this, so I have to do it that way because, you know, I want them to be happy. Now your only choice is what makes you happy. Is that a substitute for being alone on a holiday when you don't want to be? No, it's not. But it's also a positive step in a direction to support your own needs. Like I said when we first started this conversation, if you don't want to be alone, find a different situation that you can go volunteer somewhere, go and be with a friend. I do have one friend who's also alone at the holidays, and we promised ourselves that we were still alone in another year, which I fully expect that we would both be given our philosophies of life. We would just spend the holidays together. You may have someone like that in your life that's divorced and their children are gone, or maybe they're a widow, or maybe they're living in a different part of the world than all their family is. I live in Hillsboro, Oregon, which is the land of Intel, and out here there are a lot of people that come in from all over the world to work, and they're away from their family and their friends too. So you may have groups and neighborhoods like that where you can say, hey, you're alone. Why don't you come over to my house, or let's get together and do a potluck. You can change what this looks like and make yourself feel better if you need to be with groups. And if you want to be alone, do something that makes you feel good. Now, if you can afford to do something really special, go out somewhere. Dress up and go out and have a wonderful dinner at an upscale hotel. You know they're always open on the holidays because they have people traveling to be with relatives. Or go to a restaurant that is open on the holidays or around the holidays. Do something to truly treat yourself instead of sitting at home. And honestly, a friend of mine eats cereal when she doesn't feel like cooking. That may not be the holiday tradition you want to start. Now, if you have a job where there are people that work on the actual holiday and you don't have friends or family close by and you're alone, volunteer to work on that day. You're going to be around other people that also have to work on that day, and it gives the people that have friends and family or family primarily a chance to be home with their families. You get to work. Normally, they pay you a lot more when you have to work on holiday. And depending on your company, they could be providing a lunch or a brunch for you or have a party because you're working on that holiday. It's just another option that you can think of doing so you're not alone. Now, if your situation is one where you have family and you're going to be with family and you're dreading those gatherings. I know I always did. There was always someone who would ask me the question I didn't want to ask. It was, or didn't want to answer. It was that person that was a little too judgmental. Like, when are you going to start dating again? You just want to throttle them sometimes. Or why is it you don't have a job yet? Really? You're still single? How come? You know what those questions are like. You know when you have that relative, I call her Aunt Barb, although I don't have an Aunt Barb, I'll say that right now. You know that when you have that relative that's going to be there, you really dread going just because of that reason. Holidays can be stressful enough without dealing with those folks. You may have become a master at avoiding that person until you're not. You're in a room and you don't have a choice, and here you are. But your reaction to them is going to determine if they keep harping on you or if they drop the interrogation. And I know it's easy to become defensive. I know I have, especially in the last 3 years. If you're defensive, though, it just kind of feeds them. It almost eggs them on to keep harping on you and to keep asking the questions that you don't want to deal with. It's almost like your hostility feeds their inquiries. That type of response tends to keep you in a really negative place too. So my recommendation is, if you're dealing with that relative that's asking you the questions you really don't want to answer, just keep your response as light as you possibly can. You just go and hug them and say, I love that you care, but I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. And then walk away. And if you can't walk away, change the subject. But make it clear that, you know, that's not really a discussion that you're going to get into, because you can do that. And if you're in a family and there's a lot of people around, you know there's someone else you can go talk to, or you can volunteer to run to the store. There's all sorts of things that you can do to avoid answering questions that you don't want to answer. And while we're on this subject, I just want to say, you don't have to answer anyone's questions. Because someone else is curious about your life, that doesn't mean they're entitled to an answer. And we get on the defensive when those people, that, especially those that we don't see very often, think they have a right to interrogate us or they have a right to answers about our lives. They don't. And I am truly an advocate of taking the lighter approach and saying, I'm really glad you care, but it's just not something I want to talk about. And there's nothing wrong with walking away. Now, you may be really good at doing this, but you may also have someone that doesn't want to let go. I call them those relentless people. And when you have someone that just doesn't want to let up, it's an answer like, Aunt Barb, I appreciate your curious and I know that I would like to enjoy this family event and would prefer to talk about something else. And if she gets the hint, then great, you can move on. But sometimes she doesn't. And you just turn around and say, you know, it's not a conversation I want to have. I'm doing the best that I can and I'm feeling good about my life. So if you care or love me, depending on what word is appropriate for you, let's talk about something else. I just don't want to have this conversation. I want to enjoy my holidays. And right now, I'm just not ready to share that information. I just need you to not ask me any more questions about it. And hopefully, Aunt Barb's going to get the message. But if she doesn't, you just have to say, I've asked you to respect my feelings, and I don't want to talk about this right now. You seem to want to ignore them, and that doesn't work for me. Perhaps when you're more understanding, we can talk, but it's not going to be now. Then you truly do have to walk away. And if you can't get far enough away, take a walk. Volunteer to go to the store. Go out. Do something. Go watch the game. You can retreat into another room if you want to do that. Put space between you and this person. They're nibby and nosy. They're curious. And sometimes it's purely just because they care, but they're not really good at approaching it with the understanding and the compassion that you need in your life right now. But it's important to know that you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to rationalize your life in any way to anyone. It's your life. Whatever you do, though, don't use this encounter to go drink more so you don't have to deal with Aunt Barb. The last thing that you need to do or probably want to do at this point is to get to a point where you're going to tell Aunt Barb exactly what you think. That's going to make the holidays even more uncomfortable, and you're going to dread the next one and the next one and everything after that. Walk away. Don't drink yourself under the table or is something else that's going to make you say or do something you'll regret later. Remember, Aunt Barb is the problem. This is not about you becoming the problem because you don't want to deal with her. Now, as we sit and we talk about the Aunt Barbs of the world, this is a holiday season for you and your family. And sometimes one of the awkward conversation that comes up has to do with gifts. If you're in a financial position not to be able to buy gifts, and maybe you always have before, or that's the expectation of the family, if your family understands the situation and what you're going through, they're going to understand that you are not going to go and buy gifts for everyone because you're just not in that position. And you don't want to go out and load up a credit card that you know that you can't pay for just so someone gets a gift. It's not what the holiday season's about. Yes, there's advertising that says you have to give the best gift ever, but the truth is the holiday has different meaning than giving a gift. If you've got a large family, and as the family grows and gets older, one of the things you may want to do is just set expectations. Tell them you're going to be more frugal than what you've been, and maybe suggest you do something like draw names from a hat so you only buy one gift for one person in the family instead of, you know, a small gift for everyone in the family. If it's your family and they understand the situation that you're going through, they too might appreciate the fact that, oh, good, I don't have to go out and shop for everybody and their brother. Let's just focus on finding the right gift, if that's what a tradition is in your family. And one gift per person and forgive the gifts, you know, forego the gifts, not forgive, forego the gifts that you just feel you have to do out of obligation. You know, if you're going to a family event and you always take gifts, take flowers. Make a dish and take that dish with you. Do a card. You can do things simpler than what you used to do. Now, if you have a small family and this is you and your spouse and maybe a child or two, think about instead of doing gifts this year, planning an experience, something that you can go out and enjoy together. I know that as a child, I can't tell you about the gifts that I got when I was small, but I can tell you about the experiences my family and I had when we went to the beach or we went sled riding up in the mountains. Give yourself, your family, the gift of an experience, something that you can all do together. Because, you know, especially with children and the toys are often forgotten very shortly after they've been given. Or if you're going to buy something, think about buying one thing that they truly want. Maybe it's an iPad. Maybe it's an Xbox. Maybe it's something that they truly have wanted. And forego all the other little things. So you focus on one gift. And in a way, you'll see how that manages the costs that you're incurring, especially over the holidays. Now, think about yourself. When you were a child, what was important to you? Is that a tradition that you can start with your own family right now? Now, if you're alone at Christmas and opening presents for yourself seems a little ridiculous, I know it does for me, ask yourself what you would like to do for your Christmas or your Hanukkah or whatever holiday it is that you celebrate. I'm not going out to buy myself holiday gifts. That just, to me, is ridiculous. As I said, I have no family here, so that's not what I'm going to do. But why not throw yourself a party? You know, like you would have done at Thanksgiving instead of turkey, maybe you find a special meal that you can make. Jack and I had a tradition all the time of doing a rib roast at Christmas. Well, I'm not sure I want to do a rib roast, but I think I'm going to do something very, very similar. But throw yourself a party. Make the foods that you want to make. Turn on the music that you like to hear. I know at this point in time, I'm not quite ready to hear Christmas music, but maybe on Christmas Day, that's exactly what you want to do. And maybe your Christmas meal for yourself is going to be tacos. Actually, Matt, I think that sounds like a really good idea. Matt's my producer. He's pinging me saying, tacos! I like that idea. I love Mexican food. Make this holiday something memorable for yourself. Do what you want to do, whether it's listen to music. There's movies that open on Christmas Day. You can go out and see a movie. You can rent a movie. You can take a hike. You can do whatever you want to do because it is totally up to you. It's your life and it is your choice what you want to do. But make this holiday enjoyable for you, regardless of what your situation is. You're changing your tradition. And isn't that what this needs to be about for you? It keeps you from thinking about the way it always was, because now you're creating the way that it will be. And that way is going to feed what you need and what you want most. But most of all, through all these holidays, remember that the holiday is a day. It's not your life. It can be difficult to be there by yourself. But when you sit there, if you get to feeling that lonely, hollow feeling, say to yourself, this is a day. This is not my life. And then shift to that focus of gratitude. Think about what you are grateful for and your incredible blessings in your life. Maybe you are alone, but what about all the wonderful parts of your life that you know you're grateful for? Focus on those because that's what's going to get you through this holiday most. Being grateful for what you have, not sad for what you don't. And as hard as that may be, it's a day. And you know that tomorrow's going to come and the sun's going to rise. And everybody's going to be back to their normal lives and doing the things that they were doing the day before and the day after. It's a festive time of year. Make it festive for yourself by choosing how you're going to celebrate the holidays and make this about what you want and what's important to you, not what you don't have. Because when you focus on what you have, you always are going to feel better. So I hope the show has helped today. I really appreciate you being here with me. For everyone listening, I hope your holidays are memorable this year. You focus on what's important to you. You focus on gratitude. And remember, it's a day in your life. Have a great week, and I'll see you after the holidays.